Blog Talk Radio.
Amanda Page recently gave the peace sign to her student loan debt when she got serious. She kind of made a dramatic exit from the life of student loan payments. She's a dreamer and dreamed of a life that included travel, my favorite thing, and planning for the future, but that dream was a little muddled under the crushing weight of student loan debt. So for 15 years, she was managing the payments until she started her blog, DreamBeyondDebt.com, as a way to keep herself accountable to the dream of being debt-free.
Welcome and thanks for tuning in to the Midday Money Show, your weekly shot of uncommon financial good sense. I'm Tony Husbands, a financial coach with the Debt-Free Divas, and I love to talk about all things as they relate to your money. Recently, a good friend of mine, Aja McClanahan, and she blogs at principlesofincrease.com, put out a very interesting article where she highlighted 17 people who had blogged their way to debt freedom. Now, of course, this caught my attention for two reasons. Number one, the focus was on getting out of debt. And number two, the concept of accountability. And I really believe that that is a key ingredient to sticking with and accomplishing your goal of getting out of debt. So, of course, the article was interesting. It highlighted a couple of people that we've spoken to before on this podcast. And I was like, oh, I think it's a good time to take a stroll down memory lane and bring back a couple of guests that I really enjoyed and highlight how they use their individual blogs to accomplish a goal that I know many of you are working on. So not everybody is a writer. Not everybody is a video expert or has even the remote interest in putting a podcast together or being on YouTube or anything like that. However, I really want you guys to just consider how you can incorporate the idea of accountability into your process. Professors at Dominican University have found that you're 33% more likely to accomplish your goals if you, number one, write them down, number two, review them every day, and number three, most importantly, review them with a buddy. Some of you have expressed before that you don't necessarily have potential accountability partners in your mix, and that's where I want to do something different here, and I'm going to just kind of put a little bug in your ear and let you know something else that I'm working on for the new year, which is to basically formalize this process of creating accountability teams. So if you're interested in maybe plucking a few members of Team Debt Free out and putting them onto your accountability team, then this process is going to be for you. Again, like I said, I'm going to talk about this a little bit more formally in the future, but just so we can wet our whistle, if you will, I want to dig back into the Midday Money Show archives and remind you of some of the guests that we've had and how they've used their blogs to accomplish some pretty remarkable debt-free dreams. All of the links mentioned on today's episode, a marvelous accountability approach helping one group dump loads of debt, will be available on my website, and you can get there by heading over to debtfreedivas.org. Amanda Page paid off $47,554,000 of student loan debt, and we started off the conversation just talking about her options now that her life is free from that student loan burden.
Now that you have the student loans out of your life, and because you love travel as well, What's the next kind of interesting travel destination you're eyeing?
I've got my eye on Australia.
Oh.
And I'm really torn. I'm thinking of Australia. I'm thinking of Iceland. I keep going on to the Boots and All ticket builder where you can kind of like plug in all your destinations and it'll map it out. You don't have to buy a ticket when you do it, but I keep playing with that. I haven't ventured too far into it just because the goal after paying off debt was to buy a house, and I just moved last Sunday. So although I still play around with the builder, I'm a good year out from even thinking about making a purchase.
Amanda shared in the original interview that she was doing what she loved, but she wasn't making much money, especially when talking about paying back five figures of student loan debt for two degrees, and she had a significant amount of credit card debt as well. She strung together multiple adjunct professor positions, but wasn't making nearly enough. She had a challenging number of years that included job loss, depression, and she ultimately declared bankruptcy to discharge $30,000 of credit card debt.
How did coming through that process of bankruptcy impact how you looked at your student loan debt?
You know, that's a good question, because when I think back, I felt this huge burden lifted, and at first it was just like, but I still have this other burden.
mm-hmm.
But I did feel some kind of determination to do something then about my financial situation. You know, I did feel like I had a second chance.
Mm-hmm.
I felt humbled in the best way possible. I felt like I'd been given mercy. Like, it was just, you know, I never really thought that I would, and I'm going to say it this way, although it's for a specific reason, but I never thought I'd be the kind of person who declared bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the process of declaring bankruptcy, I realized how ridiculous it is to think in terms of the type of person who declares bankruptcy, because there is no type.
I am so glad you said that. It's a tool, right? And we do, we kind of have this, I guess, stigma, if you will, you know, a stigma attached to the idea of somebody who, the type, air quotes, of person who files bankruptcy, but it's a tool, and unfortunately sometimes, you know, like you say, life happens. You had a string of various events and maybe things piled on, and you took advantage, you know, you took advantage of a tool that's out there to give you a fresh start, right?
Yes, yes, and it was a really hard decision to do so, but I think what it also did too is it opened up, I was no longer then also the type of person who got themselves in $48,000 worth of student loan debt. Again,
mm-hmm.
it's just, you know, I realize how common it is, but I think
mm-hmm.
a lot of people, I know my friends and I have talked about this a lot, although we're all looking at various amounts of student loan debt and we understand that it's a national problem, we still have a tendency to make it so personal. Like,
right.
I can't believe this is a problem that I have. I can't believe this is who I am, that I'm carrying this debt. Like, but it shifted that for me, definitely.
Okay. So I'm hoping people hear that. Again, there's no type, you know, and we don't want to be in the situation, but, you know, if your health is involved, if there's no way out of your situation, this is an option. Now, it's not necessarily something we want to abuse or take advantage
right.
of, or just live without any type of responsibility because we know that these type of tools exist. Of course not, because there are ramifications. So what are some of the ramifications that you did experience because of filing bankruptcy, if any?
Well, you know, right after I filed, I mean, I waited a year before I got a secured credit card to start rebuilding my credit. I was just so afraid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was just so, I didn't want to think about credit or debt. And I was also very focused on a problem that I identified with, which was under-earning. Going back briefly to what I was being groomed for in graduate school, you know, the expectation is that you become, you know, something in the academic world.
Mm-hmm.
And in a lot of cases, and this is a whole other problem in higher education, in a lot of cases, the only jobs available, especially if you want control over your geography, are adjunct positions, so teaching part-time at
mm-hmm.
a number of different colleges to
mm-hmm.
equal
mm-hmm.
full-time work. And I was doing that, and I was not happy with my salary, and I'm scrambling to build a decent emergency fund, and I started going through this book with a friend called Overcoming Under-Earning by Barbara Stanny. I had read through it before, and each time I'd read through it through the years, I was kind of afraid of, oh, goodness, look at these exercises. I was afraid to confront what was in there. But after bankruptcy, I was like, what do I have to lose? What do I have to be afraid of?
Right.
So I started working through that and looking at my situation kind of through that lens of under-earning. And I worked really hard for about a year just to work on my mindset, really.
Mm-hmm.
And then it occurred to me, hey, I might be able to take on more work
mm-hmm.
at higher pay, you know, weed out some of the lower paying jobs
mm-hmm.
and focus on paying off this debt, the rest of this debt.
Well, good for you. Good for you.
So Amanda took stock of her resources and skills and figured out how to increase her income while keeping her expenses low with the help of a few cheese crackers.
I decided probably at the beginning of December 2014.
Okay.
I had contacted the temporary agency, and she had placed me in a position. And when I went there, they were like, bring a book. You're not going to have a lot to do. And instead of sitting there with a book the entire time, I brainstormed blog ideas. I was reading I was reading on my phone other personal finance blogs and just I was like, I might give this a shot.
Okay. And then so Dream Beyond Debt was born, and then we have mm-hmm. little over a year later, you know, as
yeah.
a part-time adjunct professor, you were able to retire $47,000
$47,000
in student loan debt.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
And so ultimately, Amanda used her blog, dreambeyonddebt.com, to serve as a vehicle for motivation to stay focused on her goal and dump all of that debt, $47,000 of student loan debt, within 1 year. That is pretty amazing.
This episode is sponsored by Personal Capital, a free online tool that helps you keep track of your personal finances, folks. Track your spending, manage your investments, and keep up with everything through their secure mobile app. You can support the Midday Money Show and take advantage of this fabulous free tool by creating a free account with Personal Capital. Head over to debtfreedivas.org/personal and we'll show you the way.
Melanie Lockett is the second blogger who used her blog as an accountability tool that helped her dig herself out of $81,000 of student loan debt. And she was able to create a new career that's taken her far beyond what she ever imagined her theater degree would. Melanie was struggling with depression because of the debt amount and her lack of suitable job prospects, and she just wasn't making meaningful connections in her new city. So we talk a little bit about that on this episode.
And I just realized that I couldn't go on doing what I was doing, and I couldn't just wait for the outside world to make good things happen for me,
right?
You know?
Right.
And so I started my blog in January 2013, deardebt.com.
Okay.
And I started it in January 2013 really as a lifeboat, as a way to keep me going, because I felt like I had no meaningful work. I felt hopeless about my debt. I felt very lonely, and I thought, what if I write about my process of getting out of student loan debt? Maybe I will find other people in the same situation as I am. I won't be so alone, and I'll be encouraged, and maybe this will help.
Mm-hmm.
And my blog was really the turning point into everything. It really helped me create a community of people that are fighting off debt. It inspired me. It made me feel useful. It made me feel like I was learning again and doing things. And, you know, to make a long story short, my blog led to a new career as a freelance writer and an event planner.
Mm.
So eventually the blog turned into another career and helped me create my own career, which was the best sort of surprise outcome.
Before the blog, were you ever able to find full-time work in your field of study?
Well, yes and no. So I was able to find a full-time job finally in May 2013.
Mm-hmm.
So that was about 6 months after starting my blog, about a year and a half after moving to Portland.
Uh-huh.
I finally found a nonprofit job as an events and communications coordinator, making $31,000. It wasn't exactly in my field, but I've always worked in nonprofits before this,
uh-huh.
so it sort of at least was in sort of the general arena.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by that point, I had already been sort of side hustling a lot and then finally found this job. And then hilarious, because I quit that job 1 year later to be my own boss, you know, because of the blog, because of the writing opportunities I got from the blog. And so it was really hilarious because I started my blog with no job opportunities, feeling hopeless. You know, that led to side hustling. I finally got the job that I thought I wanted all this time. And then I quit after 1 year because I realized that I was making a lot more actually being my own boss than I was at a nonprofit.
At what point in this experience do you think your emotional state started to kind of, I guess, heal itself, if you will, or you started mm-hmm. to kind of rebound from the dark place you were in emotionally?
Yeah. I would say a few months after starting my blog, you know, I started connecting with other people in the community and making real friends. You know, once I got that nonprofit job, I started to feel a little less hopeless, and, you know, that did a great deal for my confidence. And then side hustling really, really bolstered my confidence, because anyone that knows how tough it is to look for a job and to be continually rejected again and again and again,
mm-hmm.
you know, knows what a toll it can take on your self-esteem. So to be able to create your own opportunities is so immensely rewarding. And, you know, so I was able to do that through side hustling, and that really sort of changed my self-worth and changed my money mindset. I realized I wasn't worthless. I realized I wasn't, you know, unemployable or whatever. And I really realized that I could harness my power to create my own opportunities and that I didn't have to just wait for other people to hand me stuff. Because I feel like that's why I was so miserable for so long. I was stuck in this very traditional mindset of working in a 9-to-5. This is the way things are supposed to be. This is what success looks like. And once I got rid of all those notions of this is what success is supposed to look like, things really started to change for me.
Jessica Garbarino grew up learning about the sacrifices from her grandparents who immigrated from Cuba. She felt like she was just throwing away her opportunities and not making progress on her $56,000 of debt. As a single lady, she was more focused on shopping and socializing, but her blog, EverySingleDollar.com, helped her connect with the supportive community online that forced her to pay attention to her finances and craft a plan to become debt-free.
You know you have debt, but I don't think people realize how much debt they really have until they add it up, because it's kind of, it's been normalized,
right?
Like student loans, car, credit card. It wasn't like I was doing like crazy stuff.
Right.
This is all pretty typical American debt.
Right.
But when I added up.
And at this point, you're making the payments. So it wasn't like you had
Because all you're seeing the payments.
Right.
All you're seeing is how much you're paying every month. Okay, that's how much I'm paying. And you're paying minimum payments on it. And but to see like physically how much, you know, in like on in writing how much it was that like that moment just kind of took my breath away a little bit.
So at this point, were you, you said you felt like you weren't getting ahead, but were you struggling financially, or was it just kind of a sense like I should be doing more?
I felt like I should be doing better because I had a really good paying job, and I just felt like I never had enough money to do the things that I really wanted to, because at this point, a lot of my credit cards had gotten to the point where I really couldn't use them that much anymore because some of them had been close to maxed out, and I didn't want to take on yet another credit card, and I just, you could see that part of it building. The student loan just felt like, and I know that that's nothing close to what people have as far as student loans, but to me, that felt like a huge weight.
Right. To you, it's your situation, right? And it's something that you are shouldering, right? I totally understand. Because,
right.
Yeah, I came out with $13,000 in student loan debt, and I thought that was massive, you know, and it's still, you know, comparatively, maybe somebody else would say, but even to this day, and it's been 20 years since, you know, since I graduated from college, but has it been 20 years? My gosh. But yeah, it's been
16 for me for my undergrad. Yeah, so I know.
Right. So yeah, I felt like, oh my God, it's going to take me 10 whole years. You know, I'm looking, again, this is my experience at the time, but $13,000, what did I do with this money? But yeah, I totally understand. It's your situation and how that impacts you. You can't really compare yourself to other people.
Yeah, I mean, it felt very weighted.
Yeah.
Like I felt very weighted by all. And I think looking at the numbers, I think getting to actually finding out the number first is the biggest hurdle for anyone, because that's reality.
Right.
That's what you're working with now. It's not like, oh, these are, you know, possible numbers. No, this is really what it is.
Right.
And that's what you got to deal with. So I think that's the biggest first step for anyone trying to get out of debt.
Find out where you stand right now. Jessica now supports a community dedicated to single women through coaching, YouTube videos, and her blog. So again, you can connect with her at EverySingleDollar.com. And finally, for this walk back through memory lane, I want to share with you a snippet of the episode from my pal, Even Steven, who is definitely one of the coolest dudes I know in the personal finance space. He started his blog, EvenStevenMoney.com, and climbed out of $100,000 of debt after publicly drawing a line in the sand. And we talked about the tough choices he made to reach his goal and how he was able to stay focused and be all in while paying off debt.
Having to go from the luxury class back to CTA, which for those that don't live in Chicago is our public transportation system, how did you manage that?
Well, literally it was just a reality check for myself. I was like, hey, you know, you got a couple options. You can drive a Mercedes or you can pay off extra on your student loan. I was reading a lot about personal finance. I was listening to Dave Ramsey, who, you know, is very, you know, like sell your car, make sure you pay off your debt. So at this point, the biggest thing was I was focusing. I was all in. I was taking forward, like listening to podcasts got me motivated in the morning, reminding me, hey, don't spend money. We're going to pay off debt.
Okay.
So that was really big at that time. I really started focusing on everything that I did was associated with that debt. They kind of say, like, when you learn a language, you need to immerse yourself. You need to be all in.
Right.
It was the same way with debt for me.
Okay. So it's kind of like, look at the big picture. Yeah, it's going to be, it may be a little blow to the ego, or sometimes I think, too, it's like we set up in our minds when we're adulting, we are supposed to be at a certain place at a certain point in our life. And at that certain place, we should have X. You know what I mean? So if we don't accomplish X, then if we can't afford to accomplish X, then there might be some personal feelings of, like, you know, lack or inability to perform or anything like that. And so instead of kind of focusing on those feelings of, like, lack or lack of accomplishment, or maybe even comparing yourself to what other people in your peer group are doing, focusing on what your end goal is. Sounds like that was something that you were able to do.
Absolutely. It's very important that, I mean, what you mentioned is almost exactly right on, because I don't know where these visions came from, but I had pictures of making six figures, driving the luxury car, taking the Fridays off to go golf.
Right.
I thought that was where I'd be at
right.
25 or even 30. That's not the way things went. So
you got to focus on that big picture, and regardless of where, you know, just kind of take stock of where you are right now. It's not a competition. It's not a comparison. A new quote that I'm loving is, comparison is the thief of joy. And it's not a comparison to what other people are doing, because, quite frankly, we don't know how other people are handling their finances, and we can't just compare to the outward visual. All we can do is really understand what we have to work with, where we are trying to go, and the process that we need to be on to get there. So, I definitely appreciate you sharing that and being open about that.
So hopefully you enjoyed that little stroll back down memory lane. I really appreciate all of my guests always sharing their stories, because I feel like it's fuel and motivation for everybody who is trying to dump debt. And actually, I've heard that from you all specifically, so we'll keep doing that. Speaking of feedback, I wanted to share a recent email I received from Jacinta. She just joined our Pay Cash for Christmas contest. And so if you're listening to this episode and we haven't yet hit December 1st, 2016, you still have time to join us on my mailing list and get that information on the Debt Free Divas site. Join the Hidden Money Challenge and get connected into the Pay Cash for Christmas Challenge. I'm giving away $250 to one of the challenge contestants, and we're going to be doing that drawing on December 1st. So this is what Jacinta sent me. She said, I'm behind in the Christmas challenge since I joined late, but I am making all attempts to catch up. What an awesome concept. And she lists out her Christmas budget, which is one of the challenge task for one of our weeks. I have always crazy spent for Christmas, as Jacinta says, and never had a budget. I'm so excited to actually have a financial plan for the holiday season! Exclamation point. A family member just gave me a $300 check, and I plan to use that for my Christmas spending. Debt Free Divas has been a total blessing to me. I'm in tears. My heart just really did a flip there. So back to Jacinta. My old self would have spent the $300 and used credit cards for my holiday shopping. Now I actually look forward to Christmas instead of being depressed that I'm creating more debt. Woohoo! She's determined to be a debt-free diva. So thanks, Jacinta, for sending in that awesome feedback. I really appreciate it. And I know that this challenge is going to help you all take no new debt into 2017. That's the purpose of it. If you haven't, again, joined us on my website, you can get connected to all of this goodness. Head over to debtfreedivas.org. Until next week, you all have a great money week.